But having the messages online, that means you can go back and listen and say, what in the world was that crazy guy talking about? But it also means I can say stuff like, good morning, Jackie, we miss you. And she'll hear that. You take a look at the front of your bulletin. You got the beautiful picture of the school crossing, or the school crossing. That is not my favorite of, you know, the message this morning is do your job. And that is not my favorite picture of the one where people have messed up in doing their job. My favorite one is the two pictures side by side, the two different crews going painting the white line on the side of the road, and one paints right over the roadkill, and the other one wiggles around the roadkill, so you got a crooked white line. So then the question comes up is, which one of those two did not do their job? And it's the one who went around the roadkill. That's the one who did not do their job. The picking up of the roadkill was somebody else's job, and I get that. Do your job. Each and every one of us are called to work for the Lord. We are gifted and we are equipped to do different tasks. And in Genesis 2, beginning with verse 15, says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, out of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Now I have heard people say that because of man's sin and the original sin, the curse on the ground, that people had to work. That's not true. God gave man a job and rules before he fell. He had work to do. Work is a gift from God. The ability to do work is a gift from God. The talents that we have, abilities that we have are gifts of God, from God for his purposes. That he knows how he's made each and every one of us. If you talk with employment counselors or guidance counselors in school, try to find out what kids are good at, what they're gifted for. As I was going into the Navy many, many years ago, I had to take a placement test that would see where my aptitudes lied. Even secular entities recognize that we are all made different with our own talents. Those are a gift from God. And I am looking forward to the gift of God to be able to retire and not have to get up at, you know, before 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm definitely looking forward to that too. But that doesn't mean I'm going to sit on my hands and not do anything when I retire. I've already got something that's been laid on my heart. I'm going to learn to be a handyman. I'm going to pick up pallets on the side of the road, take them apart, you know, sand them down, and learn to build and start by building kids' playhouses. If they're good, I'll donate them. If they're bad, it's the start for a really cool bonfire, you know? But it's something I've always wanted to learn how to do, and I've never had the time to learn to do it. And here, this is something that's on my heart to do. So I'm looking forward to it, having a plan, having a goal. That ability to work and to go out and to do things is something that God has put in each and every one of us. Now, some of us have fought long and hard to avoid doing anything. Okay, some of me. I won't say some of us. Some of me. To avoid things. But it's still instilled from God, a gift of God to be able to do things. In Ecclesiastes 9, beginning with verse 7, Solomon, the wisest man in the world, because God gave him the wisdom, says, go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white and your head lack no oil. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all of the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun. All of your days are vanity, for that is your portion in life and in the labor which you perform under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. So what is Solomon saying here? Solomon says, take joy in the things that are before you. Take joy in how you live your life. Enjoy your wife. Enjoy your work. Enjoy the beautiful sunshine. Enjoy and take pleasure in living out your life. Where it says, let your garments always be white. Like, what does that mean? What doesn't mean don't get dirty. It means take care of the things that are a gift of God in your life. Let your head lack no oil. That says take care of yourself. That's what Solomon's saying here. Now he's saying it in words that really don't fit our current way of speaking. But that's exactly what he's saying. Is put effort into the things of your life. Because that is a gift of God for your life. And it is your portion. It is a blessing. It is your reward in life. Is to be able to do the things that God has equipped you to do. In Proverbs, still Solomon, chapter 27, Proverbs 27, beginning with verse 23. It says, be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds. For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. Again, Solomon is saying, take care of the things that fall under your hand. All of this is part of being diligent. All of this is part of doing your job. All of this is part of focusing on what God has placed in your hands. From the very beginning, God put Adam in the garden to tend it. He put him there to take care of it. If you go in Genesis 2 before that, which I didn't copy down the scriptures, but in Genesis chapter 2 before that, before God set the garden, he said he hadn't made the garden yet because there wasn't a person to tend it yet. God created the garden for the express purpose of putting Adam there to tend it. Giving Adam work. That blessing of God of the Garden of Eden, we hear about, you know, how wonderful it was. It's all of the fruits and everything was peaceful and everything was wonderful. And it was designed because God wanted man to have something to do. He didn't say, okay, I created you. Now you go figure out something to do. God gave him something to do from the very beginning. God has given each and every one of us things to do. He's put things in our path. He's put things in our life. He's put people around us. He's given us desires. He's given us strength. He's giving us gifts. He's giving us understanding. Bible says in one place, it is God that works in, that has given you the ability to make wealth. Everything we have is a gift from God. But we are told to focus on what we do. Focus on what God has called us to do. In fact, Paul says at one point, who are you that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand because God is able to make him to stand. In other words, you worry about what God has called you to do. I worry about what God has called me to do. And it doesn't really matter what somebody else is doing because they have to answer to God for that. What we do is we try to walk before God. When Jesus had told Peter, you know, right after he says, if you love me, feed my lambs. If you love me, feed my sheep. Right after he said that, then Peter looks at John and says, well, what's he going to do? What will this man do? Like, don't worry about him. You worry about you. I says, what does it matter? Jesus said, what does it matter to you if I decide for him to live until I come back? What is that to you? You feed my lambs. Each and every one of us has a specific calling of God on our lives. Specific giftings. We're made specifically for a purpose, and that purpose is to minister to this generation. To be a light, to be a witness. Whether we're working with our hands, whether we're working with our minds, whether we're being friendly to people, whether we're mowing people's lawn, whatever it is, whatever God has gifted you and given you the ability to do, He has done it so that you can show His grace and mercy to the people around you. If it's taking people fishing, whatever it is. If it's going to camp, if it's having church services on the shore, whatever it is that God has put on our heart, He has done it for a purpose and intends to use it because He's gifted us that way. He's working in us that way. Everybody familiar with Proverbs 31? Proverbs 31, beginning with verse 10, says, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She also seeks wool and flax and works and willingly works with her hands." It goes on and on and on about the factors, the identifying marks of a virtuous wife. And each and every one of them can be boiled down to the fact that she's diligent, that she's working to make things better for her household. Each and every one of them. Not a whole lot different than God put Adam in the garden to tend it. He gave him a job. The definition, the Proverbs 31 woman is listed as being diligent in the things that she does. She takes care of her household. She knows what's going on with the finances of the household. She's at work with making provision. She considers carefully a field before buying it. She's paying attention to the things that are going on around. Each and every one of these attributes is talking about how she diligently lives, diligently works. The same thing the guys are called to, diligently work in whatever God has given them to do. The Bible recognizes that we haven't always lived a life in accordance to God's word. In Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 28, it says, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need." This is where Paul is talking about how to live the new life, how to live having come in contact with Jesus Christ, having been transformed, how we are to then live. And he goes on and says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Paul tells the Ephesians, doesn't really matter what you did before, you're not that person anymore. If you stole, fine, it's over, you've repented. Now steal no more, that you will have, but work with your hands so that you will have something to give those who have need. He says, be careful how you talk with people. "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good and necessary for edification, for encouraging other people." In 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter saying along the same lines, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." In the garden, God put the man in there to tend it. All through the scriptures, we've read how it's good to work with your hands, how it's good to do the things that are before us. Going back to that picture on the front of the bulletin where somebody misspelled school in the school crossing sign. It's very easy for us to point out others' errors. It's very easy for us to catch when somebody else messes up, but so many times we're blind when we do it. So many times it has to be pointed out to us, "Oh, you messed up." But then there's the question, how do we react to that? Sometimes Not all the time, praise God. Sometimes I get upset when people tell me I've messed up. Used to be all the time. God's working on me. Maybe I'm just messing up so much I'm getting used to people telling me I've done it. Something along those lines. But we are called to be diligent in the things that we do. Because everything we do, we read it back in... We read back in Ecclesiastes, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Another place it tells us that whatever you do in word or deed, do as unto the Lord. As we work for God. We may have a worldly boss. We may have somebody in... Some of us are still working. Some of us are the boss. Some of us think we're the boss. You know, we may have a worldly boss. We may have somebody that we report to. But ultimately, everything we do, because we are bought with a price, we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Everything we do, we are supposed to be doing it as unto the Lord. Many of you are familiar with Dave Ramsey. Financial counselor. He's a Christian, and he's a financial counselor out of the Nashville area. Syndicated radio show, all that sort of stuff. As he tells people how to excel at their job, or how do I go about starting my own business? Well, if you tell somebody you're going to be there, be there. If you tell somebody you're going to be there at such and such a time, be there at that time. If you tell somebody if you work for somebody and you're supposed to put in so many hours of actual work, go there and work, you know? You'd be amazed. He says you'd be amazed how few people, when they get there, will actually work. We are called to be diligent, to do the job that God has called us to do, whatever it happens to be. However he has equipped us, he's called us to do the task that he's placed before us. Last scripture, Proverbs 22, verse 29, says, "Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men." And you're like, well, again, what does that really mean to us? He will stand there. That means he will stand in the presence of. He will be considered alongside of kings. Alongside of royalty. Just by being diligent in your work. Back when I was in the Navy, I was had to go through some leadership courses. And one of the lessons that day was on risk taking and goals and that sort of thing. It was like a ring toss. Had to do a ring toss. And you were supposed to say how far from the pole you were willing to stand. And you had three rings. And how many of those three rings you were going to get on at that point? And, you know, at 5 feet, if you got all three rings, that's 15 points. And one person said, "I am going to stand at 1 foot, and I am going to get all three rings there." And some people gave him a hard time. Said, "What? You're not willing to take a risk?" He said, "I am a parachute rigger. If you would like me to rig your parachute from 5 feet away, I'll be happy to do it. However, if I'm doing it, I'm doing it diligently. I'm doing what I know to be right." Because it really doesn't matter what somebody else is doing. Again, Paul said, "Who are you that judges another person's servant?" God is the one who works in us, who has gifted us, who has created us for his purposes. And it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about it. It doesn't matter what anything else happens, because we don't report to anyone else. We work for God. I work for God. You work for God. Each and every one of us created by God for his special purposes, for his tasks. So whatever God has placed on your heart, whatever God has given you the ability to do, do it. Do your job, because God, who sees the big picture, like the real big picture, not the big picture we think we see, but the real big picture. God who sees the end from the beginning has us here at this time for this purpose with these gifts. And we don't know what all God is doing in the middle of it. But we know that it's God that works in us, that God who's created us, the God who knit us together in our mother's womb for His purpose and for His plan. His plan includes each and every one of us. It includes that person riding by right there too. It includes everyone around us. We are all called to do our part and to do our job. So that means if we're painting the white line on the side of the road and there's a dead possum there, our job is to paint the line on the side of the road. Our job is not to make a real funny little squiggly as we try to go around it. And if our job is to put the school sign on the school crossing and we make a mistake and everybody sees it, then we go back and try to fix it. We don't try to deny it happens. We don't say, oh no, what me? No, no, no. We do what God has called us to do. And in humility, be willing to say, Lord, I messed up. Be willing to say to the people around us, I messed up. Please forgive me. I'm trying to make this right. Because God's plan sometimes always includes where we mess up too. Because remember, He sees the end from the beginning. He's not surprised by anything that goes on. Because of that, even in the midst of the turmoil, even in the midst of our mess ups, even in the midst when we fall flat on our face, God is still doing something wondrous in it and through us. So get up and keep going and do what God has called you to do. Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, that You are at work in each and every one of us. Lord, that You have gifted us, that You have created us for Your plan and for Your purpose. We thank You, Father, for those that are here this morning. And we know, Lord, that You knew this morning who was going to be here. None of us is a surprise to You. We try to figure things out in our own mind, but we don't understand. But You are the one who sees the end from the beginning. You are the one who knows each and every one of our days before ever any of them were. You are the one, Father, who has us engraved in the palm of Your hands and are at work in us to will and to do of Your good pleasure, to want to and to be able to do the things that You've called us for. And we thank You, Lord, that You have a plan and purpose for our life that includes, Lord, holding us up as a testimony and as a trophy of Your grace and mercy. So, Father, we just give You the glory. Help us, Lord, to walk in Your ways. And Father, when we stumble, to get back up. Not to try to hide anything, not to try to cover anything over. For Lord, we know that people are watching each and every day. But Lord, that we would, with a humble heart, Lord, in humility and recognizing that in our weakness, You are made strong. Father, that we be lights to the people around us. We thank You for it, Father, and give You the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.